Hello everyone, this is Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years into teaching. In the earlier two modules, we have studied about what exactly is trade union, what is the purpose, object of this trade union, what are the roles and functions of the trade union, why a trade union is important for a better industrial relations. In the later part, we have discussed about the processes through which a trade union has to go through to get itself registered. Who is a concerned authorized person to, register trade union? In this section, we are dealing about all rules and regulations which are mandatory for any trade union. Since India has been mainly an agricultural country, trade unionism is restricted to industrial areas and is still growing. So as we also know that predominantly India is to be considered a agricultural based economy, wherein still 70% of the population of India is engaged into agriculture. But when it comes to trade unions, it is basically considered important in industries. And with the industrialization process, it was felt that the need of trade union the industrial relations can be smoothened, and at the same time there are no class conflicts happening. The need of trade union was felt. But still, with the increasing industrialization, we have trade unions basically in industries or say industrial sectors. The Trade Union Bill 1925 was introduced in the Central Legislative Assembly to provide for the registrations of trade union and in certain respect to define the law relating to registered trade union in the province of India. So whenever we have a proposal, now say anything happening in the society makes us feel that there should be some law enacted to it so that it is being implemented, compulsory it is being implemented in the society. Now say for example, I'll give you an example of this extended maternity leaves. So this proposal was felt years back, that we also know why these women are not participating in the workforce. So years back we have researched and identified this as a cause, that women going on maternity leave and not turning back. So this was a research made, and then certainly some representatives gave it in a written form, and that is called as a bill. So here that proposal is called as a bill, which is being represented to the government, saying that some acts should be passed on it so that it is implemented in the society on a larger perspective. So here in 1925 a proposal was given that there should be some laws passed with respect to the registration of trade union and giving it a legal identity. So that particular bill was passed in 1925, but it got accepted and it converted into an act in 1926. The trade union and in certain respect to define the law relating to registered trade union in provinces of India. So here basically they are more focusing on the registration part of the trade union. The Trade Union Bill 1925, having been passed by the legislature, received its assent on 25th March 1926. So finally the bill got converted after the approval, it got converted into an act, and that was on 25th March 1926. It came into force on 1st June 1927. So for any act, whenever the act is being passed, it takes some time for implementation. That means when the act is passed, it needs to be communicated to the concerned parties. And that gap is there between the implementation, that means when it will be enforced. After the enforcement of law, every party binding to that act has to follow the provisions made in the law. It came into force on 1st June 1926. 1927 and became known as the Indian Trade Unions Act 1926 under Section 16 of 1926 Act. By Section 3 of the Indian Trade Unions Amendment Act, that means, timely alterations are required whenever an act is concerned, prevailing to the current market situations. So, timely amendments are made, and that's why it is called as Amended Act. That means after the alterations made. So, by Section 3 of the Indian Trade Union Amendment Act that happened in 1964, 38 of 1964, the word Indian has been omitted and now it is known as the Trade Union Act 1926. So, what was the amendment made, the alteration made? Earlier it was Indian Trade Union Act 1926, but now the word Indian has been omitted and now we know this act only by Trade Union Act 1926. Now here we need to know the object of the act. So basically this act was passed to give certain guidelines or say certain provisions for the registrations of trade union. But to be very specific, it only talks about registration and not recognition. So, registration of the trade union, they have made certain provisions, restrictions towards the minimum number of members required for the trade union. So, the minimum number of members required for the trade union is 7 in numbers. It talks that the 7 members has to be employed or has to be engaged in particular industry or organization. And the 7 members subscribe to the application, accepting all the rules and regulations under this act. Further, it states that minimum 10% or 100, whichever is less, in the establishment has to apply for the trade union membership. And further, when this registration process goes further, we also have some provisions wherein the flexibility is being given. Because while making the application, certain number of people have made the application, but then they change the organization or they move to some other industry. So at least 50% of the people who had made application should be there at the time of registration. The main object of the Trade Union Act is to provide registration of the trade unions to confer legal and corporate status on registered trade unions. So once the trade union is registered, it avails a legal status. The appropriate government shall appoint a person, and the person is called as registrar of trade unions for each state. So here trade union to get registered, appropriate government, that is state government or central government, depending on the nature of trade union. If the nature of trade union is so which affects more than one state, then central government is the appropriate government. But if the matter of concern are restricted to one state, then state government is the appropriate government. So the appropriate government will appoint a person who will look into the matter of registration and so on, and that person is called as registrar. The registrar of the trade unions is empowered to grant registration to trade unions under the act. So he independently takes the decision whether he wants to register a trade union or not. So he is empowerment that he can grant the certification of registration or not, depending on the provisions mentioned which a trade union has to follow. The act lays down the procedure for registration and cancellation of registration of a trade union. So under this act, we are not only talking about the procedure or the process of registration, but here also the process is defined for cancellation as well. Here we are also talking about the minimum requirements that a trade union should have to get themselves registered. And also there are some provisions which are discussed over here which will be liable for the cancellation of the registrar. And then criminal conspiracy in trade disputes. Now what happens is whenever a trade union is being formed, And if it is being found that there are some conspiracies happening because of the disputes between the employer and employee, so what will be the further action taken, on what grounds are mentioned in this? Then we talk about disqualification of office bearers of trade union. As we have discussed in the earlier module that who can become an office bearer. So there we have discussed that office bearers have to take some minor decisions on day-to-day basis for the smooth functioning of the trade union. And so they have to complete or attain the age of 18 years, because we considered a person who attains the age of 18 years is adult. And so we need to understand that any member or any office bearer who is found to be below the age of 18 can be disqualified. Not applicable when 5 years of under the section 21A is being completed. Now see what happens is any office bearer can take the position in the office for the maximum number of 5 years, and if it is being found that it is exceeding 5 years, disqualification may happen. If the registration of a trade union is refused, or if a certificate of registration is withdrawn or cancelled, that means after the certification is issued, two cases may happen. One, it can be withdrawn, and the other, it can be cancelled. Withdrawn can be done by the trade union itself. Any person aggrieved or the trade union may appeal to the court. That means in any of the case, whenever the certification is withdrawn and the criteria that we have discussed in the earlier topic, that a registrar may withdraw or cancel the registration. He may withdraw the registration if he finds or observes that the trade union activities are not being happening for a longer period of time. They are no more in motion. So they may withdraw the trade union certificate or registration of trade union certificate. Or they may cancel on the grounds when he is very sure about that the certificate is taken on the basis of fraud, or by providing inappropriate information or wrong information. He may cancel the registration. And if the trade union finds that our registration, cancellation of registration is not legal by the registrar, so they can go to the higher authorities, and they may appeal to the court on the cancellation and withdrawal of the registration. All communications and notices to a registered trade union may be addressed to its registered office. That means any conversation or any legal communication, any formal communication which is being happening will be to the registered office of the trade union. Notice of any change in the addresses of the head office shall be given within 14 days of such change. So whenever we are making an application, we write some address in that, and that is considered as a registered office address for that particular trade union. There are possibilities that the office may change from one place to another. So that is allowed, but then the change has to be notified to the registrar, and the time limit given for it is 14 days. Within 14 days of the change, such changes has to be notified in writing, and the change address shall be recorded in the register referred in section 8. So when you apply for the changes in the address, further they need some inspection to be done, verification to be done that the new address is genuine or not, and it will take some time. So after that is done, that will be automatically registered under the register under section 8. Every registered trade union shall be a body corporate by the name under which it is registered. So as the company is registered under Companies Act 1956 and it has its independent name, it is a legal person to be represented. Similar applies to the trade union. When a trade union is registered under some name, it is a legal person. It is an artificial person who is representing such large number of members under the trade union. So once the trade union is also getting registered under some name, it will be called by that name, and it will will act as a artificial person. So any contracts happening, any buying, selling of say movable or immovable property happening will be in the name of the trade union and not by their members or office bearers, which is registered and shall have perpetual succession and have a common seal. So now when we talk about artificial person cannot sign. So as its signature, we design a common seal, and that seal is considered to be its signature. So in a similar case, trade union will also form a common seal, which they will use for any buying and selling of movable and immovable properties or making contracts. With power to acquire and hold both movable and immovable property and to contract, and shall by said name sue or to be sued. Now if there are any frictions or say cases to be filed, so that case will be filed against the name of the trade union, and if the trade union wants to file any case, will use the same name. When a registered trade union is dissolved, notice of the dissolution signed by 7 members and by the secretary of the trade union shall within 14 days of the dissolution be sent to the registrar. Now in this case, we are talking about the dissolution of trade union. That means trade union has being registered under this act, but now whatsoever reason, now the trade union is not interested to carry on the activities, and legally they want to dissolve this trade union. So what is the procedure for that? For that, what they have to do is they have to give an application of dissolution to the registrar within 14 days of the decision they have taken to dissolve the trade union, and by the 7 members of the trade union who had made the application, and also the secretary also have to sign that and has to send this application to the registrar. And finally, by the acceptance of the registrar, it will be notified that legally the trade union is now dissolved. Now further verification will be done, because every time the dissolution is not fair. Sometimes for the personal benefits, and after accompanying the personal benefit, they dissolve the trade union. Now for example, the several smart people in the organization, what they do is they influence the innocent one in the organization and they form a union. Now they will actually create frictions among the employer and employee whether the trade union is to smoothen the industrial relationship. But here what they are doing here for their personal benefit, they are creating such frictions among employer and employee. They will influence the employee to go on strike. And then they will have a personal agreement with the employer by settling down on certain amount of money, taking certain amount of money from the management. And once that is done, they are not interested in the trade union activities. And then this employer may influence the leaders of this trade union to dissolve the trade union. So that may be the case. So a registrar needs to actually verify what is the reason of dissolution. So once the application is being made, registrar, after satisfying him with the sufficient information, will declare whether the trade union is dissolved or not, and shall be registered by him if he is satisfied that the dissolution has been effected in accordance with the rules of the trade union, and the dissolution shall have effect from the date of such registration. The general and political funds of a trade union have to be spent only in furtherance of specified objects of the trade union. So we have understood that there are two types of fund generally made in the trade unions. One is general fund. So this general fund is generally utilized for the development and proceedings of the trade union activities. Now there are some meetings happening, there are some social welfare activities happening for the trade union members. So this general fund which is being created will be only utilized for those purpose, and those purpose are already listed well prescribed in the act. So we need to know that the general funds are spent only on the prescribed activities. Whereas political funds are concerned, These are the additional funds created if required, and that will be also spent on the listed activities which are related to the political promotion and distribution of pamphlets, holding the meetings of this particular political parties. So this political fund will be utilized only to prescribed political list of activities, and whether general fund is mentioned, that will be used for the development and welfare activities of the trade union. Further, in this act, it also provides immunity for civil and criminal liability to trade union executives and members for bona fide trade union activities. Now here there are some listed trade union activities under which they are being given waiver, or I will say immunity against any criminal or civil offense happening. Now as I told you that company is a legal or artificial person, whereas the members of the company are separate. So they all have their independent identity. But here also we are considering same concept of trade union. That means a trade union by its name is having its legal identity and the members are separated. So any activity happening under trade union which leads to any civil or criminal offense, say for example while strikes there are some damages to the property, so the members are not responsible for this. That immunity is being provided to them. They are considered separately. The registered trade unions are required to send annually to the registrar. Now here when once the trade union is registered, there are some reports, there are some statements that need to be sent to the registrar annually, and in a prescribed format. So a general statement of receipts and expenditure. So now when it is concerned about money or funds, there are chances of frauds happening, and the funds may be utilized for the personal benefits of the bearers and the office bearers and the executives. So it is mentioned in the act that appropriate list of expenditures made in that particular year and the receipts, that means the fund is generated from the receipts, has to be mentioned and sent in a prescribed form to the registrar. And also notices indicating changes if any in the union. So timely, if we are making any changes in the rules and regulation of the trade union, or there are any minor changes that are happening in the trade union with reasons specifying what are those changes, has to be notified to the registrar in writing. The act provides for registration of trade unions only. Now in this act we are talking about registration, but the registration of trade unions only. There are no other registration processes mentioned in this act, but not for recognition of the trade unions. So and in the earlier module we have discussed the difference between what is registration and what is recognition. So registration is somewhere giving a legal status to a trade union under the Trade Union Act 1926, but then there are no provisions or there are no legislative acts which are being made except some states which are binding on the employer to provide recognition to the registered trade union. So recognition is something we can easily understand by saying acceptance of the trade union by the employer. That means voluntarily the employer now accepts the registered trade union as a bargaining agent, wherein they will get into collective bargaining agreements where employer will positively invite them to come and discuss over the matters. So recognition is somewhere not compulsory in nature, and there are no provisions made by the law when it comes to recognition of the unions. Penalties. According to section 31, failure to submit returns, section 32, supplying false information regarding trade unions, and section 33, cognizance of offenses. Now we are when we are talking about say registration methods or process of registrations, and various activities, rules and provisions about the registrations. And later, we are also talking about penalties if the provisions are not being met or not being followed. So section 31 talks about if there are any failures to submit the return, what will be the penalty charge. Section 32, supplying false information regarding trade unions, which is actually considered to be a fraud. That means providing wrong information. Now we have spoken about that any trade union has to send a list of expenditures and receipts made in a year. So if there are any wrong information provided in that list, what will be the penalty? And section 3 talks about cognizance of any offenses made, then what will be the penalty? So here we can see under section 31, the penalty amount that is being mentioned over here. So this act only talks about, you know, the legal bindings and the laws which are binding on the employee to follow the rules and the provisions made in the law. And what are the possible actions that are being taken if the provisions are not being followed? Thank you very much.